For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I hope this is the right place to start.
No, yeah. Can you just... Oh, that's not the correct place to start.
Oh, wow. Really in the not, middle of the game.
You're not even doing it right.
Wait, oh, here we go.
There you go. It's perfect.
Last, all right, sweet.
Last of jams.
I don't know if you guys have ever listened to this podcast.
If you've never listened to the podcast, this is an intro song that I wrote.
It's called First Try because it's his first try.
The first try I ever made at making a song.
And I always... Oh, we got to turn up as high as possible. I forgot to make an applause sign, but this is where you applaud.
You clap. Everybody claps. We're here. Yay!
Yay! Welcome to our show.
We did it.
We actually got him here. Ethan has never been on a plane except for like one time in his entire life.
I braved the storm of the TSA. I got patted down twice for you guys in all the crevices. This is not a joke. I actually didn't, but I did almost do something. I almost literally got arrested because I flew here and there was a man standing and he said, hey, you need to go that way. And so I went over there. I didn't have my shoes on. I didn't have my bags. I didn't really know what was going on. And then another TSA person yelled, what are you doing? Get back in line. And I said, I don't know. It turns out the one dude was just moving me out of the way because there was a man with a cart behind me. And I just thought that I was getting specially processed.
like a can of meat.
Like a meat. Like a cattle getting pushed into the...
Unpasteurized Ethan.
Yeah.
You should ensure the podcast now.
Yeah. Welcome to The Crunch. This is episode 81. I am Ethan, a.k.a. Apropostle.
And I'm Patrick, at Catholic Pat. And I know most everyone in this room.
Ethan doesn't know. I know some of you that I've met in the past couple of days. You guys have a lovely school. It's very nice here.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. I'm talking to you.
I built it myself.
This is not your school. This is their school. This is for the people. This is the people's school. Do you guys like it here? Is it good?
Do you enjoy it yourselves?
I've been eating at the CAF every day, and let me tell you guys have it so good.
Really?
You guys have it so good.
You heard it your first, folks, from a visitor. He has been telling me he's been a little bit irregular, but apparently that's standard for Ethan.
I'm a spring break right now. Every spring break, it seems like I've managed to get some type of diarrhea. And I'm not saying that that's what happened on this trip. But what I am saying is that maybe I've had to go a bit more frequently than what is normal because I've adjusted my diet from a bowl of oatmeal every day and maybe a couple of crackers to like three slices of pizza and a lime soda in 2 minutes.
You're also on Central Time, so I might be throwing you off a little bit.
No.
Yeah, it's fine.
When you fly from Central to Eastern Time, it's like the airline steals an hour of your life away.
That's how they fuel the airport.
You don't need a 24-hour day anymore, and then it's gone. It's really sad.
So a little background on the podcast. We've been doing this for about a year and a half. I don't know. How many of you guys actually listen to our show? This is the first episode you guys are ever, well, you're
oh,
80
yikes.
You're 80 episodes behind. You need to get
yeah
you need to leave right now.
That's
go
so
listen
scary.
And come back.
It's so scary that there's like most of the audience has no clue about it.
Oh no. Okay, so maybe by the end of the show we'll actually be able to warm them up. But so yeah, we've been doing this for about a year and a half. We started this podcast because we met each other on Twitter. Ethan like sent out
Patrick slid into my DMs and wanted to be friends. And here we are.
That's how I made most of my friends, actually.
No, what happened was is that I had all these followers on Twitter, at Ropostle, if you're interested, and I said I want to do a podcast on Catholic dating. Because I think that's something that we're all really bad at is generally interacting with members of the opposite sex. And so I said, let's do a podcast because clearly I know everything. I don't. But I said, let's do this. And Patrick was the first boy to jump into my mentions. There were like 15 others after you.
Really?
That didn't make the cut. No. But it was literally just Patrick was the only one that wanted to do it. And so
it's either lame or it's destiny.
It was perfect. Reasons. It was divine providence. And so we put it on SoundCloud and then everybody loved it. And so we kept doing it.
It was unnamed for 4 weeks.
Unnamed for 4 weeks. We didn't meet each other for 4 months until after we started. So this is born and raised in the fields of the internet, of Twitter.com.
This is a product of the internet. And we've actually had a lot of opportunities. We've gone as far west as Chicago, Illinois, or San Antonio, Texas.
Like, I had to travel east to get to Chicago. So it's like
Ethan came from the west to go east. And we actually had the peak of our podcasting career. We interviewed Mark Hart earlier this week.
Do you guys know who Mark Hart is? Some people didn't know.
One person, Sarah, didn't know.
Sarah had no clue.
Who Everybody, Mark Hart was.
Sarah.
Which is crazy. You don't know
who
Mark Hart is?
He's vice president of Life Teen. Kind of a big deal in American Catholicism. But we've been able to talk to so many people. I get to come
He's
and
the
do
Franciscan
like
University of Catholic Speakers.
You guys really think you're the best school, don't you? And not that you're not, but... It's very apparent in how you carry yourself.
You're the odd man out in this room.
I really am. I'm the only one. Is anybody here not a student at Franciscan? Okay, we got two. We got two!
Two.
That's what I'm talking about.
So we also started this little tradition called the monthly mailbag,
yes.
Which was a tradition that we started in the middle of doing our podcast. I mean, we started it from the very beginning. We've always done the monthly mailbag every month since we ever, for the first
it's
time
been,
we
it's been a
the
recurring,
podcast.
It's been a recurring theme that we've done every single month, and we just wanted a way for people to come and ask us questions. Because we would always pick topics, but we don't know what the people want.
We don't know what the people want, and we don't know what you guys want. So
it's also a really good way to get free content ideas. If other people come to us and say, hey, talk about this, we don't have to come up with something for that
exactly.
week. So it's a twofer.
The only problem
say.
Is it's easy to get letters on the internet. You can just have people send you mm-hmm. DMs, but we had to get a very special way to get letters to us. At this, we had to go through the snail mail, and we have a very special guest coming in through the door. This is Mailman Teresa.
This is Mailman Teresa, everybody.
Everybody gets
some paper mail.
All right, you got to put the mic at Teresa. All right,
yeah, here you go.
All right,
hello,
Mailman Teresa. Everyone, this is Mailman Teresa.
Mailman Teresa.
If you guys know Teresa, give her a round of applause.
Round of applause
for Mailman Teresa. Mailman.
Teresa, that's a wonderful hat.
Thank you.
Is that standard issue for the USPS nowadays, or are you doing FedEx, and that's something that they do to differentiate themselves?
It is FedEx, but they made me pay $40 for it, and it was mandatory, so I was upset about it, but that's okay. That's okay.
It's mandatory $40.
That's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, I mean... It's the cost of logistics, am I right?
Yeah.
That's UPS. It's not the same. Yeah.
In your uniform.
it's a good look.
But I get to wear flip-flops at work, so that's great.
Do you have any mail for us?
I do. I have a bunch of letters for you.
You got to put the mic back on her.
So I've been traveling by snail mail with these letters, and we've kind of gotten really close. So I wanted to, like, introduce you guys to all the letters because they've become really good friends of mine, and I want to make sure that, like, right before they're kind of, like, spent, you know what I mean? So
those of you that are listening online, she has put googly eyes on an envelope.
I'm going to introduce you to my first friend. This is Cassandra.
Everybody say hi, Cassandra.
Hi, Cassandra.
Extraordinarily camera shy, so just, like, she blushes all the time. It doesn't mean she likes you. Just take it in stride. But she, fun thing about Cassandra, she always does her eyebrows like first thing in the morning and then she washes her face. So she's got like streaks running down her eyes sometimes. It's like, what are you doing? Also, fun fact about her, she worked at a JCPenney for 16 years with a direct deposit. So that's Cassandra in a nutshell. So just be gentle with her because right. She's a good soul. All right.
She's
so
she's been through a lot.
Let's
every morning. Thank you, Teresa. We'll see you again shortly.
See you guys.
These are in, so this could be a really fun experiment.
This is gonna be a very fun one. Okay, okay. Our first monthly mail.
Hold on, wait. Let me proof. Oh, this will be fun.
Okay.
Yeah, this is
okay.
A good one.
She says, hey, with a smiley emoticon. It's very important. Last year, here in Brazil, a story about a woman who prayed with an Elrond figure, thinking it was St. Anthony's, went viral on Facebook. I thought it was hilarious, but it also made me wonder if her prayer was valid. I don't know if that's the right word. Is it only her heart's intentions that matter? I really want to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks, and I love your podcast. Hold on. Elrond?
Well, I've done the same thing, because one time I picked up my Obi-Wan Kenobi figurine. I thought it was Padre Pio. Has that happened to you guys? Or is that just something that happens with me? First of all, I think the prayer is valid. Second of all, let's think of all the fictional characters that look like
that
saints.
That we can pray to.
That we can pray to.
What what is Elrond?
Lord of the Rings. He's the guy that Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Yeah, I've never
the elves or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You go on this journey. Wait. And that's where Gimli is like, and my axe, you know, it's like a
classic.
It's a classic scene. You guys know what I'm talking about, everybody?
Yeah.
This is Franciscan. Okay, you guys know two things. You know about theology and you know about
Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah, okay, sorry. That's good. Thank you for thank you for recovering.
I was waiting for the punchline and you missed it.
I forgot what I was. I was in the middle of a sentence. I just forgot where I was.
Okay, now I know the name of that.
Yeah, Elrond.
That boy.
Yeah.
That's funny. How did they think that he was St. Anthony?
Well, I think maybe sometimes.
He looks a little bit like.
Maybe you get a little bit desperate. Like, you just really need to find something.
Usually,
and you get so busy trying to find the thing that you're looking for that you forget to find the correct statue to pray with.
Usually, St. Anthony is depicted holding the child Jesus. Was he holding a child?
Yeah, Elrond was holding Gimli
in his
arms. Just a little dwarf boy, and it was like, oh, this is exactly the thing that I need.
And it was like holding her lost keys.
Yeah.
So
have you ever been
like,
so...
Perfect.
This person must have been so distressed in their home. Like, what did they lose that made them pick up an Elrond?
Like,
it must have been... Literally, what I'm thinking is they lost their child, and they were in such distress they just picked up something that was in the child's room, and they're like, oh, I must have dropped this St. Anthony thing here. It was a child's... It was their...
Gotcha.
It was their Elrond figure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm in sacraments right now with Dr. Newton. Shout out Dr. Newton. And we just learned about sacramentals.
Uh-huh.
And apparently sacramentals, they work like through the intercession of the church. So like I think if it was a St. Anthony statue, she would have like received more actual grace, which disposes her to receive spiritual power.
Uh-huh.
So if it was a statue, St. Anthony would be better. But it's almost as if she just sweet. Statues.
The pizza's
we
here.
We got pizza. Did you bring the pizza guy?
You didn't bring the pizza
Angelica.
Guy in? Oh my gosh,
we're
Angelica.
Supposed to bring I'm just kidding. You're fine.
No, it's fine. You're good. If you want pizza, it's in the back.
You want pizza in the back. The statues don't work like sacraments, like ex operato, ex opera, whatever.
Well, that's really fun. What I'm thinking is that it actually provides more grace if you pray with Elrond.
Through the intercession of J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah.
Hey, hopefully. Guys,
I mean, he's probably a saint. I don't know. I feel like as long as it was a sincere prayer.
Yeah, it'll go to the right guy.
It'll go to the right person. It's not like you can just intercept prayer.
Mm.
And I mean, you sent this via the wrong statue. We can't do it anymore.
I was talking to someone who thought that this part of the chapel was Jesus.
Mm.
I wonder if that works
the same way.
Wait, who was it, Sarah? Oh, okay. I thought. Oh, you thought the same thing? It might have been Sarah then. Sarah, everybody, this is the second time I've called out Sarah on accident. Everybody give Sarah a round of applause.
Yeah,
she's the best.
A round of applause for Sarah.
She deserves a round of applause after I roasted
her. One time I thought Jacob and Esau of Genesis fame were podcasters and vloggers.
I mentioned Jacob and Esau, and Ethan goes, I've never seen any of their videos. I was like, there's a good reason for that. There's 5,000 years of good reasons why you haven't seen any of their YouTube videos.
Exactly. It can't get that bad.
That was a very good question.
It was a good question.
Everybody give that question
a round of applause. Good question. Make sure that you pray to the right things.
Where'd Teresa go? Oh, okay.
Teresa's right there. Next question from Teresa.
Hooray,
Teresa.
It's okay. They just want to see your face.
Stop. Again, folks, another googly eye envelope.
I'd appreciate it if you would humor me, Ethan.
Sorry. It's a real person that she's holding in her hands.
Yeah, so this is my friend Jacob, and he's like 6 years old, and he's so sweet.
Aww.
And he just has like a lot of questions, and he won't shut up sometimes. But sometimes I'm like, hey, it's like time to go to sleep. You know what I mean? Little kids.
Do you run an orphanage, Teresa, on the side?
People forget stuff in the mail. I pick that up. It's my kids. Anyway,
meanwhile, there's a mom praying with an Elrond figure because Teresa stole something that was hers out of the mail.
I see really cute kids and I turn them into mail and I adopt them. I'm just kidding.
This is like a terrifying German fairy tale.
This is exactly Hansel and Gretel, except the witch is a male woman and Hansel and Gretel are just pieces of postage.
Exactly.
So this is Jacob, and he's just really funny. And sometimes he like picks things up and pretends they're other things. You know what I mean? How kids do that.
Like picks up letters and pretends they're people.
Stop. I'm 20 years old. I'm an adult. Also, I have a very large hat on. So just listen to what he has to say with a big heart and an open mind. So take it away, Jacob. All right.
Thank you, Teresa.
I'll let you open this
I'll open this one. Again, folks, we do not know which order these are in, so...
We could have staged this, but we thought that would be dishonest.
We could have staged this, but also we started planning about 30 minutes ago, so... All right. Oh, this will be fun. Hey. This is John Paul from Catholic University. Do we like Catholic University
here? Yeah!
Okay. Rivalries with the other Catholic.
Only with Christendom.
Okay.
See, that joke killed.
That is an insider joke. Me and the other 1,000 people that are listening will have no clue. Anyway.
Christendom doesn't listen.
This is John Paul from Catholic University. Love your podcast. I traditionally listen to it Sunday nights when I'm making PB&Js for the upcoming school week. Very responsible, John Paul. My question has to do with the apostolate of friendship. I frequently invite my non-Catholic friends to attend Mass with me and tell them beforehand that only Catholics may receive communion. They understand and respect that rule. However... When inviting lapsed or nominally Catholic friends to come back to Mass, it's a little bit trickier. How can I charitably let these friends know that only practicing Catholics in a state of grace can receive communion without giving them the impression that I'm looking down upon them or being judgmental? Thank you. Keep up the good work. And Patrick, keep talking about Mary. Thanks to you, my consecration is going to be finished on the Feast of the Annunciation.
Hey.
Shout out.
Everybody give Mary a round of applause.
Everybody cheer for Mary. Yeah. John Paul, this is a great question. I don't know.
You don't know?
Do you have thoughts?
I don't know any lapsed Catholic. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I go to Franciscan. I don't know anybody don't know that's a lapsed Catholic or not in a state of grace all the time.
We all float here. We just float to class.
Uh-huh. Let me tell you something. Never mind. It's not important. I've seen some things today. Let's get back to the question.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Maybe like gently reminding them to go to confession or encouraging them to go to confession. That's step one. And then if they ask, like, if it gets closer and closer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a big fan of passive aggression. Like, if you passive aggressively be like, hey, like, we should really try and go to, it's not passive aggressive, but just like gently suggest, like, let's go to confession together. Mm-hmm. That's evangelization. That's really good. And then if they go to confession, then boom, like, they're good, hopefully, and then they can receive, and so at least you have like plausible deniability. The rest is between them and God. Then if they refuse, then maybe like kind of remind them, like, actually it's a really good habit to receive frequent confession if you're going to receive communion. So then they'll kind of like...
And if they refuse again and they insist on going up to the confession line, that's when you full body tackle them in the middle of the church.
In the middle of the church, don't.
In the middle of the church.
Lenten linebacker.
Shout out Lenten linebacker.
That's a new Catholic generation.
New Catholic generation. Also the homies. Thanks for letting me sleep on your couch last night, Tristan. Cool. but I think in a good way to not be judgmental, and this is something that's really hard with non-Catholics and with Catholics, is when you talk about the faith and when you get really excited and you get really into it and be like, the Eucharist and Jesus and the Mass and everything, it's really easy to just start sounding like somebody who doesn't know anybody about anything about anybody. Like, you're not a people person, you're a Jesus person, and nobody can relate to that. And so I think the best way is to really understand and enter into that person's life and enter into what they're struggling with or what they're dealing with and maybe their place in life. And it's all just about being a good friend. Like he said here in the question, John Paul, this is to you. You said it yourself, the apostolate of friendship. You should be, like, your life should be flowing into this friendship. If you're inviting people to Mass, it should be more than just a passive, hey, we should go. Like, because you avoid a lot of these awkward situations if you're actually living life with these people and knowing them and understanding where they're coming from. And so I think it really just takes a lot of investment into the person, which is hard because if, at least for myself, I'm going to Mass all the time, I'm going to confession all the time because I'm trying to live that life and I have friends that are trying to live that life. And so it's easy to kind of fall out of friendship with the people that aren't. And so it takes extra effort from me or from the people that are people like you, John Paul, who are living that good life to make it a struggle and say, all right, I'm going to spend this extra time that I might have with these people. You know, like it has to be a concerted effort and it can't just be like a casual, hey, I'm going to Mass.
If you're going to suggest someone go to confession, I would suggest suggesting that you go to confession with them.
It's a good suggestion.
Yeah, and if you've already been recently, I guess then you can
go
say,
again.
Like, yeah, go again.
There's no way that you have not sinned.
There's no way you've not sinned. Or if you're like, man, I went like literally 2 minutes ago, then I offer to do their penance with them. Yeah. I mean, it can't hurt. That's like a really creative, you know, way to evangelize. Be creative in your virtue, not in your sin.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Be creative in your virtue. Be normie in your sin. That's what I always, that's what I always say.
Drilling the streets and that's a Twitter joke. Nobody's gonna think it's funny. Drilling the streets, Tommy Tai in the pews. That's very good. Yeah, that's good. I think that's answers that.
Mm-hmm.
Another question, please, Teresa. We will have an audience portion at the end, so be thinking of questions. We've got a couple more that we're gonna.
We have portions for the audience in portions. The back.
Yeah, and if you just got here, we've got crunch themed cereal in the back, pizza, and also donuts.
In full transparency to our online audience, nobody's come in. It's been the same group for the last 20 minutes. All right.
Yeah.
This is David. He kind of sucks. He said he didn't like my hat. I was like, I paid $40 for it. Watch your mouth. So yeah, I kind of don't know how to talk to him.
You're happy to
without
get
getting
him.
Really mad, but yeah.
Just tell him to shut his flap.
I can't say that to his face. He's got really cute eyes. You know those. You know those people who are like, dang, they're good looking, but they get on my nerves. That's David. So I'm happy to be rid of him. Good luck.
I've actually been told that I get on people's. Oh no!
One of David's eyes just fell off. You really did a number on him, Teresa.
Now he's just Daved.
Div.
No, one of his eyes fell off, so now he's Daved.
I'm done. I'm retiring. I'm retiring. Look at
what
him.
What do you
Patrick
call a fish with no eyes?
Fush.
Hello, this is Teresa.
Oh wow, different Teresa.
Maybe
not.
I wanted to know if you guys could talk about how we are both body and soul and how that duality of man can go over into prayer and connecting head and heart and how that carries out into our daily life. Thanks for all you do. Bye. Bye, Teresa.
Bye.
This will be fun.
This is a really good one.
This will be a good question for somebody who's studying electrical engineering and not the theology of the body.
Hey, any Cartesian dualists out there? Yeah? Yeah? All right. Oh, yeah. So Cartesian dualism is bad.
This happens every episode. Every episode, something like this happens.
We have to. What's it called? Hylomorphic. Who's a philosophy major? There's at least one. Nice. Is it hylomorphic? Hylomorphic soul, which means we're both body and soul, like integrated. Yeah. So as opposed to like a clear separate. The reason why I'm saying this is because there's kind of this tendency in American Christianity to separate the flesh as sinful and the spirit as virtuous. But we know from scripture that's not the case because the Lord reprimands the Pharisees for purifying the outside of the cup but not the inside. And
whitewashed
so,
walls.
Whitewashed tombs?
Whitewashed tombs, yeah.
Whitewashed tombs. Like, there's the outside of them is
whitewashed,
purified.
But on the inside they've got dirty bones.
Dirty boys.
So they keep all their dirty laundry, literally. The Pharisees inside were some stinky men. Let me tell you what. They didn't have showers back in that day and we all suffered.
Or rivers.
Or rivers. There was no water
Nobody
back in Jesus'
bathed.
Day. So really, if you take all that into account, the miracles were quite fantastic.
Quite fantastic. Yeah, baptism. Yeah.
This is some high-quality exegesis right now.
So all of our sin comes from within us. You know, it's not like if you have like a tendency to vanity, it's not because your eyes think you're really pretty. It's because your soul is like unreasonably attached to your good looks. So like you sin with your body.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so, because you're beautiful.
Have you seen this?
Have you seen all of this? I am
you
gorgeous.
You in the audience can only see me from the waist up. You online, you just got to imagine. And good luck. Won't even get close.
Ethan's calves are choice.
Let me tell you about my calves for a second. Pause the podcast. Sometimes when I go running, my calves hurt so bad and my entire left foot falls asleep. Is that normal?
You're running incorrectly.
I think that might be.
I woke up. We shared a room the other night. I woke up and he was just doing.
We were in separate beds, folks. Do not.
I did not say that. That is a very important.
Bunk beds.
One bed, one body. That's the rule.
Wow. Is it getting hot in here?
Oh man. Okay, so yeah, John Paul II's Theology of the Body. He warns against Manichaeism, which treats the flesh as sinful, and then he also warns against the sexual revolution, which treats the flesh as like, you can't do anything wrong, so do whatever you want. And so we have to find not like a balance between the two, because both are just terrible. They both find their roots in utilitarianism and viewing the body as like just a tool to achieve an end, whether that's sexual pleasure or child rearing. You know, both of those things, if you view the body only as something that's used for procreation, that's basically utilitarian. Right. And if you view the body as something that's only used for sexual pleasure, that's definitely utilitarian. So we need to just throw the whole model out and go with John Paul II's third way and just be like, the body was created to image God. And yeah.
I think so, we can say that for just about anything, is throw it all out except for what John Paul II said. No, I think you talk about the badness of Manichaeism. I'm talking about the badness of Manichaeism.
Mannequinism?
Whenever I go into a Kohl's, I get really nervous. They're unsightly. They have no pores. It's not natural.
What would they need pores for?
Skin.
Yeah, all right. Let's move on.
I mean, here's the thing. With Patrick answers these types of philosophical questions, I don't have much to add, so I think it's really dumb stuff.
I
got to
talk about my calves. I got to talk about pores.
Mannequins. Do you remember the mannequin challenge with those kids were doing?
Oh, yeah. The Guardian.
That should be our new intro music, is by Ray Schremmerd.
That's how you say it.
Do you guys listen to Ray Schremmerd? No? I feel like there's a lot of hip-hop fans. It's, again, just Tristan.
It's just Tristan.
Backwards, Ray Schremmerd backwards is Eardrummers. Did you know that?
What?
That's like how they got their name.
That's really cool.
That's a little bit of early 2016 meme facts for you, folks. Shout out to people on the balcony, by the way.
The nosebleeds.
What's up?
What up, Dan? All hail the matriarch. She loves us.
Amazing.
Hey, are we going to open an audience portion now or later?
I mean, I don't know.
I told John Henry to be here so he could ask a question. No. He lost his chance and all of his pizza. So we're gonna open up an audience. Does anyone in the audience have a question?
Yeah, let's mix it up.
I know I didn't ask you guys to prepare, and let's, we have no plants in the audience. So if
we
yes,
don't have
Peter,
any plants. Peter has a question.
Come here.
Let's hear it for Peter.
Everybody, hear it for Peter. This is my little.
Hey, so this actually, because...
Introduce yourself.
Oh, sorry. Hi, I'm Peter. Good. Whenever Pat crashed his car, he came to my place.
Oh, yeah, this is the guy from the car crash.
Yeah, that's my little fame in this whole spiel. Okay, so back a few weeks ago, remember how there was the man conference and they were talking about how, like, our sonship... they were talking about how, like, manhood, like, we're just men because that's just what it is. I don't know if you thought about that since that day, but... Like, whenever I would think about it, it always seemed like our manhood and our sonship are kind of like two separate things, but are both still unique. And are like, I feel like we're sons and daughters just because like our nature, but then like there's womanhood.
You might be manhood. A son and daughter. I'm just a son. I don't know about your, okay. I don't know what you're dealing with.
I really don't know what the question per se is, but like our manhood and stuff like that. And just like,
yeah.
How would you say that's different than like womanhood?
Are you asking difference between...
Besides the obvious.
Are you saying difference between manhood and sonhood or difference between manhood and womanhood? Like, those are two
both?
Very different...
Both.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's crack this
one. Do you want to answer any of these
questions? I can try to lead it off a little bit. Yeah, so I think a critical part of manhood... Hey, what's up? We're having a live podcast.
I don't know why these people are leaving. There's food in the back.
There's food in the back. We've got cereal. And it doesn't matter. Lost cause. So I think something very interesting about manhood is that a lot of the traditional characteristics of a strong Christian man is that he's a leader. I mean, if you look at all of the Old Testament fathers, it's Abraham who led, and Jacob who led, and Isaac who led, and you know, all these people were leaders. They led tribes and families and all of these things, and it's very important. And nations like David, King, right?
Yeah.
All these men are leaders, and that's what's traditionally seen as like the good Christian man is the head of the household and all this stuff. At the same time, we are called to be sons. And this is just a man perspective. We get into the lady zone after this. But
get into the lady zone.
When you're a son, if you think about being a son, inherently, like, you are following your father, right? And that's a part. So being a Christian man, like being an adult, means you are... You have to be a man, you have to be a father, but at the same time, you also have this requirement of being a son. So you have to lead and also follow at the same time. So there's this interesting play of that. There's a tension there. Yeah. And so I think we talked about this in one of the guys groups that we did at K-State a while ago, and it's about how in order to be a leader. A lot of men are really eager to lead and be a leader, but they're not very eager to follow. And so I think that is kind of something that we as men specifically have to think about, is how are we following Christ? How are we disciples of Christ? How are we, you know, covered in the dust of the rabbi and all of that? What are we doing to increase our knowledge and to increase our humility and have a childlike faith so that we can then in turn lead the people that are being led by us?
Yeah.
You know, so I guess there's kind of that. That's how I would answer that question of the difference between manship and sonship, is the leading and the following. And we can go into a lot more about that too. That could be a whole podcast. But
yeah. I mean, I think that manhood is kind of an umbrella that like houses three or four things in it. Sonship, brotherhood, and fatherhood. So by extension of fatherhood, that would also be like husbandship. But
husbandhood.
It's kind of implied in fatherhood.
The old ball and chain.
Oh, am I right, fellow men?
Yeah. Men. Yeah. Yeah.
Men. We don't.
I'm very alone. And we all know why.
So, like, you're first a son in relation to both your father and our heavenly father, and then by extension, like, in the other side, you're also first a daughter. And then when you like come into the world and like say you have siblings or say you make friends, you know, you are with people on this journey. You are. You are a brother. You are a sister. And then in that brotherhood and that sisterhood, you grow in the virtues that would make you a good father or mother. And so that's all rooted in your sonship or in your daughterhood in relation to the father.
Y'all should read Life of the Beloved by Father Henry Nguyen. It talks about this concept of, I've talked about it on the podcast before, so if you listen back to our episodes, which you should, there's this concept of we are the beloved, right? And it's based off of, you know, God telling Jesus after his baptism, like, you are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And that's how we should live our life, like being the beloved daughter, being the beloved son. And there are four things that entails, is that we are chosen, blessed, broken, and then given. And so when we are beloved and we are the beloved son or the beloved daughter, we have to understand that from the beginning of time, from the beginning of eternity, from, if you can even say beginning, it's like we were chosen by God and like his love chose us, which is amazing, right? And then we were blessed, like we were baptized into the church. We get blessed all the time. We were broken, like we all have brokenness about us. And then through all of that, the blessings and the brokenness and the chosenness, we are able to give to those around us. And so that is like the full extent of the divine sonship or the divine daughterhood, I guess, is that four stage, which also mirrors perfectly Jesus's life and like the sacramental bread and all that stuff. It's a really good book. You should check it out. But that's kind of what I'm thinking with this as well.
So I guess the other question, what is the difference between masculinity and femininity, manhood and womanhood?
They the same. JP2, 1973. He didn't say that, folks. Sorry, that was a misquote.
If you listen back to our episode a couple of weeks ago, Edith Stein, our episode about Edith Stein overemphasized because Ethan thought it was funny the way I said Stein.
Well, I've always said Edith Stein because I'm a filthy public school kid, and I don't know how to say these things, but apparently it's Edith Stein.
And so that's how I said it. Anyway.
So now the only way I can say it is like a Nazi in an Indiana Jones film. Like, that's the that's the only possible pronunciation that I can manage.
Only in an Indiana Jones film.
Yeah, well, there are no other Nazi movies. Carry on.
Edith Stein, 1979. So, I read. I was rethinking the joke. Why are you laughing so hard? That wasn't that funny.
We're in front of people, Patrick. I know. I can't cut this out. This is live.
Edith Stein wrote this book or this letter called The Threefold Vocation of. She wrote a treatise on the separate vocations of men and women, and she lays out a threefold vocation of mankind as a whole that was given to us in the garden. She says that we were first called to image the Father, image the Trinity, and to rule creation and to fill it and subdue it. So, like, that would be ruler and propagating, making more people, right? So, those are also God's roles in relation to creation, you know, to image himself in creation, right? To rule over it and to continue it, right? So we image God in that threefold role.
Wow.
Thank you.
I love that every time.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It's good.
I was worried you were like making fun of me.
No,
I was like, I can't handle this.
This is genuine.
Not in front of my friends.
They're my friends too.
And so in the garden, this is more integrated between Adam and Eve. But if we're like kind of divvying them up, to Adam and Eve belong the first. They're both called image God. Adam is first called to rule. He's called to rule before Eve shows up, and then Eve is called in a special way to bring children to the world, as evidenced by the way our bodies are set up. So, and this is so fully integrated in the garden. They're ruling over creation, and they're propagating. They both, like man has a role in propagating children, woman has a role in ruling over the earth. But at the fall, our roles kind of separated, and not by God, but we kind of grabbed them and like held them close, and we kind of refused to let them go, which is why most of like our sins against each other as men and women have to do with like man ruling over woman in a sinful way, or like woman using sexuality as like a weapon, or like using kids against the father, right? It's like pulling things away from men. And so I would say that in order to restore what we lost in Eden, those two roles need to be better integrated. This is kind of a tangent, but those are essentially the differences between men and women. Is like masculinity is more of a lordship shared. Masculinity is more of a lordship. Womanhood is more of like a progeneration of children. But they need to happen together, because without the other person, we can't fulfill the first role, the most important role, which is imaging the Trinity.
Cool.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
We gotta win the war against highly weaponized sexuality. That's like, we gotta fight
nuclear
that war now.
Sexuality.
War on drugs, war on terror, war on weaponized sexuality. Those are three wars that we gotta fight here in America today. Do we have another question, Teresa?
How many do we have?
We've got like a couple. Seven. Oh,
okay. So
seven, but we might not read one of them. I don't know. One. It depends on how many audience questions there are. Keep thinking.
Oh my gosh. He's missing an eye.
Dude.
Transplant.
This is a medical podcast now.
Oh no, Belle, do you have another one?
No.
No.
Just don't look at it, please.
He can't really look at you, so it's fine.
Oh, gosh.
This is a pirate. You've brought a pirate onto this show.
It's Pirate Jack. He's very cool.
Captain.
Captain. He never graduated. He's just a pirate.
As we all know, whenever a pirate graduates, they become a captain.
Yeah, it's their degree. This is really unsettling.
They get their bachelor's
degree. Instead of getting a diploma, they just get a giant wheel.
It's very
Sorry.
True. Jack, he's fun. He kind of starts things and doesn't finish them, as you can tell.
Like with the whole eye thing.
Yeah, he tried. Okay, he tried to dye my hair purple and gave up halfway through, and now this is what I have. So that's fun. Oh, gosh. I just am kind of disgusted that I can feel his eye socket under my hand right now.
Stop touching his eye socket.
He's crying, and I can't stop. It's okay. Just take him, please. Okay, I got to throw up.
Relinquish the ocular cavity.
Take him, please. I have to go throw up. All Teresa right. Bova.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can I read this one?
Yeah. Wow, that's a big boy.
Oh shoot! Okay,
Jack was hiding a sea monster within his mouth.
This one might bring down the mood. Are you guys ready?
Uh-oh.
This is actually like a really good question. Okay.
Okay.
Prepare yourself. Steel yourself. Take another bite before we go into this.
Buckle up.
So this is from Anonymous. Didn't want to be named. That's okay. Here we go. So not to be a downer, but I attended my sorority formal last weekend with some friends, and while the dance was going on, a 7-year-old girl drowned in the pool at the same hotel. We didn't know at the time whether she was okay or even what had happened, but we knew there was an emergency and that a little kid had been pulled out of the pool. Our group huddled up and said some Hail Marys, and after that, we just went back to dancing. I was really distracted and wondering how the situation was progressing, but I decided that regardless, I should make sure my date and my friends were having a good time and that we'd done our part and it was in God's hands. Knowing what I know now, was it wrong for us to go back to the party? Should we have tried to find out what was going on or even left the party and commenced praying for the rest of the night? Obviously, we're not meant to be distracted and miserable all the time, even though horrible things are constantly happening all over the world. And God wants us to experience joy and build relationships. But how can we justify having a party when somewhere something horrible is happening? Were our few Hail Marys enough? Did they even count if I continued to feel icky and doubtful afterwards? Did we completely fail this little girl? How do I avoid getting overwhelmed with how many prayers the world needs all the time? Just wondering what you guys think. That is wow. Such a good question.
That is a really
That's
good
like,
question.
That is something that we will not be able to handle in the time that we have today, but... Yeah. We can try.
I mean, I've said this on the show before, but like God can hear one prayer echoing through eternity.
Yeah.
Hail Marys are more powerful than we think they are, and we need to open our
prayer in general. I mean, Hail Marys especially, but
like, Hail Marys especially, but like prayer in general is more powerful.
Prayer
than
is so real, and
I mean,
yeah,
we think of like Our Fathers and Glory Bees and Hail Marys as like kind of the pocket change of prayer. You know, it's like it's just something like you can throw a few extras in. It's always mm-hmm. handy to have them, and if you add them all up, they actually make something. Mm-hmm. That's not how it
it's
works.
Like Salvation Army.
Yeah. What?
Kind of like you know what I mean. You guys got you get it. Like if everybody puts in a quarter, all of a sudden we got millions of quarters
for the
poor.
Yeah. You know?
Except it's prayers. If everybody just prays one, then we have millions. Anyway.
But it's like that if every quarter was actually worth infinite money.
Infinite dollars.
So like I mean, Mary has all of she has the entire treasury of grace within her.
Yep.
But the
full
treasury
of grace.
Of grace is infinite. So she has all of this.
Full of grace.
She has all of this grace to give and like asking for it and like being earnest, because your personal disposition is what really like pumps up your prayer. You know, if you think, why are you laughing at me?
He said pump up your
prayer. Pump up your prayer. Pump up the jam.
Why? That's like a funny song by Tektronix. Back in the day. It was in Space Jam. You guys remember. You guys saw Space Jam, right? Anyway.
This is the second Space Jam reference you made today.
Ladies and gentlemen. I'm not doing it again. Keep going.
That's really it. It's like those few Hail Marys. Are those mm-hmm. few Hail Marys enough? Like that's something that we can get trapped in when we pray. Is like, mm-hmm. is the little bit of prayer that I do enough? And it's like, well, I mean, the short answer is like, well, maybe. It's likely. I mean, if it's not enough, it's not because of the prayers themselves. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that's the easier part of the question. Not that you intentionally took the easier half of the question, but the other half is like, how are we supposed to feel and react and think about it when something like that happens? Because we can constantly get stuck in the trap of, oh, all around the world there's sex trafficking and pornography is this huge industry that's like taking over people, and there's Syrian refugees, and this is happening in the U.S. government, and like abortion and all this stuff. Like, we can get, if you really start to think about it, there's a lot of stuff to be weighed down by and depressed, and rightfully so, because I mean the world sucks and it's not a good world sometimes. So like, how do we react to it? Like, should they have gone back to dancing? Should they not? Like, if we really think about it, should we ever party given how bad things are? Like, how do you even react to something?
Like, I mean, I'd like to know in that specific instance. I mean, what would the alternative have been? You know, like, I mean, there was a lifeguard there. Like, someone had called. If I had been there, I would have made sure that someone had called 911 before I like really left, because mm-hmm. you know, but don't be like, a bystander.
But I think at the end of the day, it's like understanding that Christ's sacrifice is forever. You know, and knowing that like we've already won the war. You know, we might be losing individual battles, but we're winning the war. We already won the war. Jesus.
You may have won the battle, but I will win the other battles. That was an Office reference. Thank you, Teresa.
That was good.
I forget that Ethan doesn't
I don't watch
the Office.
Sorry. But that's the important thing to remember is that, like, through Christ's sacrifice, there's always hope. There's always joy. There's always something to look forward to and something to cling to, even in the face of the most deplorable, just nasty, awful stuff.
Yeah.
Which is hard. You can tell somebody that, like, oh, yeah, a little girl just died. Be hopeful. Like, ugh, no, ugh. Just gives you a nasty pit in your stomach, like, to even think about that. But that's something that we each individually have to come to terms to, like, in our own way, through our own prayer, with the help of God's grace, of course. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I hope that answered the question, anonymous asker.
Hopeful. It said she drowned, but it didn't say that whether or not she was rescued or was she.
They said that they pulled her out of the pool, but I think she died.
Okay,
is a thing.
I mean, how much mortal sin can a 7-year old committed? I mean, we have all the reason to hope that she went to heaven. So I mean, in that specific instance, that's good. And I mean, if she did pass away, I mean, I would take her to prayer further and pray for her soul and ask for intercession.
Exactly. Boom. That's the best way to look at it.
Yep.
She's a saint. We did it.
Boom.
Does anybody have audience question? Hopefully something a little lighter. Yeah? Come on up.
Come up.
Everybody, round
What's
of applause.
What's your name? What's your name?
Anna. Round of applause for Anna.
Round of applause for Anna.
Actually, my question was still just as a little bit pessimistic, but can a Catholic, could you still be Catholic but very pessimistic?
No.
I don't know. What is pessimism?
I mean, in terms of things temporally, maybe, sure.
I feel like I'm pretty pessimistic, and I'm still kind of Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty pessimistic.
I'm pretty pessimistic.
Yeah. This sucks.
As long as it's not eternally pessimistic, you know, because
that's so hard. I mean, obviously you can still be Catholic because Catholicism is not dependent upon your mood
or personality
or your disposition towards things or personality. If it was,
we would both be.
We would be outsies. We'd be outsies right away. I think if you tend to look at things, again, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, is like knowing that the war has already been won and we have no real reason to despair for any longer than what is justified given the circumstances. But if we look at things through the lens of Christ and joy and God's love and all that, like, it's really hard to be pessimistic. If we look at things through the lens of the world is full of sin and death, like, both of these lenses are correct. It just depends on which lens you're going to choose and which lens is going to be better at bringing the faith to others and which lens is going to be better at bringing you closer to God. So I would argue that pessimism, while you can probably be a Catholic in good standing as a pessimist, I would argue that's probably not the best way to spread the faith and grow in the faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Feel free to disagree. Counterpoint.
I would think that there's two ways of looking at what pessimism is. Like, well, is pessimism thinking that something bad is going to happen all the time, which is not as bad as pessimism in the sense of, like, every bad thing that happens, you feel like it's the end of the world, you know? It's like, oh, this is the worst thing. Period. That's despair.
Yeah.
And despair is the antithesis of the virtue of hope, which is one of the most important virtues.
It's a theological virtue.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Ethan, do you go to Franciscan?
I don't, but...
What? Everyone give Ethan a snap.
I've learned so much in my time here. Y'all rub off on me. That's really what it is. Y'all so smart and good. I know the other ones, too.
What other ones?
The other theological virtues.
What are they?
Charity, joy, faith.
Yeah,
I got it. There you go. Good job, everybody. Yeah, you're totally right.
Thank you.
I think on the flip side, optimism all the time is not healthy either. If you never think that anything's going to go wrong, I hate you. That's super annoying.
Resting blessed face.
What?
Yeah. Inside Out.
It's like the movie Inside Out. I totally just came up with that originally. That was my first. Was my first thought.
My phones are pointed this way, Anna.
Because this is a trap that I think we can fall into, and at least one that I've fallen into a ton of times myself. Is that? Listen, listen here.
Are you about to stand up on the chair?
So I almost did. And this is something that I fall into. It's so easy. Is that, like, oh, my faith is real. God is real. He's working in my life. The sacraments exist. All this stuff, like, grace is coming to me. I have no reason to think anything is ever going to go wrong. Like, which is kind of dumb. I get so jazzed and so excited about what God is doing in my life and in my friend's life that I kind of get blinded to the reality of the life that I'm living. And that's something that I've just had to become more aware of. And it's something, it has to be tempered. It can't be all one direction or all another direction. It has to be, like, a balance, which is so hard because having a balance is the answer to almost every single question like this. It's like, oh, you got to be balanced. But
it's also a fallacy sometimes.
False dichotomy.
Thinking, yeah. Well, I mean, there's like a fallacy, like thinking the balance between two extremes is the right answer just because it's a balance.
Right.
That's not what I was trying to say.
I was making a legitimate point.
Oh, good.
Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
No, I'm saying it's like yeah, it's the answer to everything, and it's also sometimes not. It's like, oh, that is tough.
Does that make sense, though, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I like it. I mean, we have a live audience you could ask, too.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Good. Oh, sweet. We're getting thumbs up.
I love this, because now when I ask, does that make sense? It's like actual live
feedback
from people.
We can read the room, and we can tell.
Another question from Teresa, maybe. Bring it on.
Who's this? I'm sensing a pattern. Oh, there's eyes on this one, too. Who knew?
They all have eyes. They're watching us all the time. Okay, so this is Claire. She likes to be on her phone when her mom is trying to talk to her. And sometimes I'm like, Claire, oh, what is your deal? And she has no idea what she's going to major in. She's undeclared, and she's a third semester senior.
She's undeclared?
Did you just say that?
Yeah, she looked.
Of course I said it. It was low-hanging fruit.
So mad.
That was the bottom of the bunch of bananas of jokes.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Pat. Things are giving us the best, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, just that's Claire for you. She's kind of vanilla. She's cool, though. Treat her nice.
I feel like I've been on a date with Claire or a girl very similar to Claire.
Do you frequently go on dates with women who won't stop texting while you're trying to talk to them?
Aww. It's happened. It's not a fun time.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Thank you. This whole trip was a fish for sympathy from my Catholic friends.
Fishers of men.
What is it? What do we got?
Let me look at that one.
This is another one from Maisa.
Yeah.
She says, hey, without a smiley emoji this time. Hey.
Hey.
How do you ask a guy about religion?
Oh.
Do you just wait until the subject comes up? Recently, I met a guy. He goes to the same college as I do. We have a lot in common, etc. Since I want to live a life of chastity, I want to know if he's Catholic, or at least if he has the same morals as I do. I don't know how to ask that question, though, without having an awkward conversation. Anyway, I love your podcast. Keep up the good work.
Can we do a group ooh real quick? Ooh.
So,
let me tell you about boys.
Are you going to tell them about boys?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I feel like it's not a weird question to ask. Like, if I was a dude and a girl was like, hey, are you religious? And for some whatever reason it hadn't come up previously in the conversation, I'd be like, yeah. And if he's not and he says no, then it's just like, good. Now you know not to date him anymore. Well done. We've just solved the mystery.
Yeah, you can just ask him if he's religious on, like, the first date, right? And what? Oh, we're getting a note from our sound guy. He said...
Sound guy Jared says something else. Tell me.
Hey, sound guy Jared, come over here.
Sound guy Jared.
We're like one of the...
Here. Let's hear it for sound guy Jared. Yeah,
we're like one of those hip podcasts that has like a sound guy. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, and I think I'm a pretty good sound guy.
He's a pretty good sound guy. He's the only person that's being paid to be here. It's great.
Woohoo!
I mean, except for the rest of your live audience, of course.
Please don't dunk on us. We just brought you up to the stage. We don't have a stage. This is a desk. Thank you.
And it's a beautiful desk, too, I might add. Good choice.
You built it yourself.
I don't think that's how it works, but all right. Nah, you ask, yes, okay, cool. Or you can just ask, hey, do you want to go to Mass with me? Ooh. I think that's, like, the best way. You want to go to Adoration with me? I'm going to confession. You want to come with me?
And then they're like, it's
real simple questions. Like,
yeah, because
they
either
say no, if they're not religious, that's fine, too. But that's the point of being a Catholic. Conversion.
Wow.
Sound guy out.
The ABCs. Guy, the ABCs
the
of a.
Yeah, the sound guy just dropped the mic, which is pretty ironic, given that he's really supposed to keep the equipment safe.
It's the ABCs of evangelization. Always be converting.
We're with it. I think that's a really good way. You really have to guilt trip the person that you're interested in into being religious. Hey, I'm going to Mass. Do you want to come? It's the only time I have to hang out. Oh, you don't want to come? Guess you don't like me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Hey, I'm going to go pray. Do you not pray? Guess you're not as much of a man as I thought.
Oh!
Ladies, you need to drop these bombs on these boys because they need...
You need to drop some boy bombs.
You need to drop
there.
Some boy bombs on these boys because
it's
they don't know.
Men.
It's hallelujah.
No. It's Lent.
Oh, sorry. I got you said you did the song. I think if you're
I'm
quoting,
sorry for my non-franny friend.
I
folks.
Think if you're quoting a song, it's fine.
Here, if we hear it at Franciscan, if you're about to say the A/H word, you say all the good stuff instead.
All the good stuff. It's raining men.
Yep.
All the good stuff.
There you go.
Wow.
Also, yeah,
you really walked me into that one. That was like a trap that I just.
you're like, oh, this circular pile of leaves looks perfectly safe to walk on.
you throw me the idol, I throw you the whip, and then I run impaled. That's my second Indiana Jones reference today. I really been having Indy on the brain. Love Harrison Ford. What I think is you need to drop some boy bombs on your boys, and then once you do that, they'll be fine. I don't really have experience with. Actually, I do. One time I went on a date with a Buddhist on accident.
Ooh.
She wasn't a real Buddhist. She was one of those, like, yeah, I'm kind of just really looking into a lot of different, like, religions. I'm really liking Buddhism.
The waiter walks by, like, hey, do you guys need a refill on bread? Like, oh, no, but, no, shit. Yes, but we're fine on Buddha.
Was that, like, butter? Like,
yeah, it was butter.
Yeah, that's good.
What's up?
Buddha. You could have done, like, do you want any cheese with your bread? You say, yeah, can I get some Buddha? This Gouda is a cheese.
That one worked less.
I did. It did.
finish your story about your relationship woes.
It wasn't really a relationship. It was just kind of like we went on a date. I've put crickets in post.
We'll put crickets in post. That's
yeah,
fine.
We'll fix it in post. What? Anyway, have you ever dated a Buddhist?
No.
Well, that's
wait. No.
Phoebe, you sure? You're not
Are you
Buddhist?
A Buddhist?
Okay, yeah. No, I don't know. I think if you're really invested in this boy and you really want to call him higher, then you just got to start doing it. Ladies, you really... I don't think women understand how much power they have in this romantic realm. What? What are you doing? What are you cutting it off for?
You said if you really like this guy, you just got to start doing it. And I was like, no, stop.
That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean.
Renee got it in the back. David got it. Everyone's nodding up in the back.
People are just going to take clips from this and cut it out and then slander my name so bad. But what needs to happen is these ladies don't understand how much power they have. Is if you say, boys, I'm going to mass, either come with me or don't, they're going to be like, and then like, all of a sudden.
They'll trip their way into converting.
Yeah, literally, they're gonna face plant into the church and stumble into the lobby with
There are many ways to Christ, honestly.
Stumble into the lobby with a breast pump attached to their forehead, being like, I'm ready to serve.
That's a reference to a tweet. You can't reference Twitter in a live show.
It's a tweet that I made. It's my own. It's a self-referential tweet. Any questions from the audience? Come on up. Let's hear it.
Miriam. Everyone give Miriam a round of applause.
Miriam, a round of applause.
Miriam's in the show. Miriam, come up here. Hey, your name means sorrow. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Oh, wait.
Bitterness. It's my birthright.
refer to the pessimism question before.
So my best friend asked my priest this question, and he never gave her an answer. So,
came to the next best thing.
It's a really weird question, but
we'll take it.
So let's say that Vulcans exist.
All right.
Obviously, Vulcans have the faculty of reason and this free will, which would mean they were made in the image and likeness of God.
Mm.
This means that there could have been a fall for Vulcans and they would possess original sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus' sacrifice is once and for all, but he did it as a human, not a Vulcan.
Right.
So how would Vulcans be saved from their original sin? So the ultimate question is, could aliens exist, theologically speaking? Along with everything else.
You know? Jared, you already came on once. You can't come on again.
That's fine. Just give me a mic.
Jared, can you start your own podcast called Aliens, starring Jared?
I love it.
You go to Franciscan. You tackle it.
So just because they have a faculty of reason doesn't necessarily mean they would have an immortal soul, right?
I mean,
that's the problem, is that we don't have any evidence whether or not, because it might just be a coincidence that reason and immortal souls coexist in the same, you know, creature, because we're the only creature that have both of those things.
Mm.
So if there was an alien, we would have to, and they had reason, like free will reason, then we wouldn't have a reason to assume they have an immortal soul. But because Christ assumed the form of a human being and the fullness of revelation occurred in Scripture, so like this is the fullness of revelation to God's creation, then it's safe to assume that aliens with immortal souls don't exist.
Wow. That's bold.
Thank you.
My hope is that the eschaton will come before we even get close to discovering aliens, so that we don't even have to worry about it. Like, that's a conversation that I'm not willing to have while I'm a human being and alive on this earth.
You walk up and, like, Galactar from Megamind is like, greetings, welcome to the heavenly feast. And you're like, wow, what? I did not see that
think
coming.
About how good of a surprise that'll be. Like, when you die and you go to heaven and it's just like, aliens.
And you're like, ah!
And Jesus
is the worst.
Jesus is like, no, this happens all the time. Come, shush, 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 honey.
Like a spider alien comes down, like, I have an immortal soul. And you're like, oh my goodness.
Jesus, why would you do this?
You did it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I'm thinking that would be so fun. All the spider saints.
All the spider saints.
Spider saints, reptilian
Spindly boys, or pronobis.
Spindly boys. We think about that, though. That would be the best, like, resurrected bodies. We all just get to run around and, like, play football with aliens. You can't do that in heaven. There's no... You can't tackle in heaven, I would assume. It's just a thought. It could be flag football in heaven. Only flag football in heaven.
Vatican flag football.
Vatican flag football. Yeah, no, I think that pretty squarely answers
pretty
it.
Pretty good question.
Yeah, pretty good question. Yeah, that really avoids... I think that's a much better answer than people saying, oh, there's just you would just be a Vulcan Jesus. No, that's dumb.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not true.
I don't like that.
Because that would mean that Jesus Christ exists in heaven as a man and an alien, which is not... Yeah. We know that's not the case.
And then people will clap back being like, well, can't God do anything? He can't do the absurd, so...
Yeah.
Step up. Anyway.
Anyway.
Teresa, you got another bombshell for us? We want to drop some big boy bombs.
Yeah, okay, so this is the second to last letter.
Okay.
This is Josh. He's really funny, but he always, like, does self-depreciating jokes, and he's like, that's comedy. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not comedy.
Looks at me.
So, yeah, he's very, very funny.
Josh rhymes with Patrick. Did you know that?
Yeah, and he always has, like, really fun socks. You're like, where'd you get your socks? And he never tells you the company, so that's kind of annoying, but that's okay. So here he is.
I get my socks at Target, Teresa.
All of my characters are like callbacks to you guys.
Cool, cool, cool.
You are to me. No, I'm just kidding.
One of my eyes fell out earlier, so that's a really good callback.
It causeth Tim to sin.
Yeah, I read the last one. Didn't you? Didn't I?
Didn't I?
Didn't I see all the good things?
Nice.
I'm just worried now that I'm going to say
hi, guys. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm from Austin, Texas, and I have a question about adoration. I have gone a couple of times in the past in my campus ministry, and now I'm living on my own. I'm in a new city, and the church I'm going to has a perpetual adoration chapel, and I want to start going more, but I'm curious to know whether there are certain prayers I should be praying, or are there certain things I should be doing in adoration. Just give me your general thoughts. Maybe what are some things that you do during adoration? Thank you so much, and keep up the good work with the podcast. I love that all of them end with affirmation. This is why I do it. It makes me feel so special. I'm just kidding. That's
every time before I hang up the Skype call when I'm with Patrick, he always tries to fish for a little bit of like, was that a good episode? And I'm like, see you later. And I just hang up. I don't give it to him.
No, I say that was a good episode, and then we talk for a couple minutes about our feelings, and then we hang up.
I'm projecting. I'm the one that does that.
Oh.
It's fine.
I get it.
What do you do during adoration? I sleep.
Oh, my goodness.
Pray like St. Joseph. Like...
silently and with your eyes closed.
Silently with my eyes
that's
closed.
That's how we walked to Bethlehem.
God talks to me in dreams. It was the dreams, the visions. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that gotcha. God talked to Joseph while he was dreaming, so why can't we sleep in adoration? You know what I mean? I'm not saying that I do that, but like maybe I went to the port earlier and that's what I did. It was very comfy.
What's the port?
Thank you.
We just switched roles because yeah. I always
reference. I go to Franciscan now. Yeah. I don't know. What do you do? First of all, to answer your question, Elizabeth, there are no specific prayers that you have to pray during adoration. That is your time with
during
Jesus.
During perpetual adoration. There is an adoration rite when you do benediction.
Yeah. And exposition. Don't worry about that. There'll be cards that you can read off of.
And that's where
if that happens, you'll be fine.
They teach that at seminary, which you also don't have to worry about. So
yeah, good. We really got all of our bases covered.
Yeah, it's really great.
So what do you do during adoration, Pat?
Rosary and scripture.
Is that it?
Lexia Divina, yeah, pretty
cool,
much.
Cool, cool.
And sometimes I journal, mm-hmm. Not like journal, but I just write. I don't really write my feelings. I usually write like what my reflections are of scripture, or, like because right. I'll do Lexia Divina, and like I'll be at like the meditatio part, and I'll be like, oh, I should really write this down. I write it down, like come back to it later.
Yeah.
Rosary usually, Lexia Divina most of the time. Mm-hmm.
I used to do the rosary a lot, but I kind of got trapped into this box of thinking like every time I go to an adoration, I have to pray the rosary, which was really not to say that the rosary is stifling, but it was kind of stifling my prayer. Mm-hmm. And I was getting frustrated that when I was going to adoration, I was like, ugh. Like, I don't get to do what I want to do. And then somebody was like, Ethan, you realize that you don't have to pray the rosary during adoration. You can just read scripture if you want to read scripture. And I was like,
really?
Wow. And it's so easy to get kind of like stuck in this rut of like, this is what I do when I go to holy hour. But it
to be fair, we are a liturgical people. Yeah. I have to do this part to get to the next part. Yeah. But that's not really how it works in personal prayer.
So now I just have to make time outside of adoration to do it. But I like to read. Yeah. I like to read scripture. Usually I try to read. When things are going okay, I'll read like a chapter of the New Testament, a chapter of the Old Testament, and then a psalm. And that's kind of like what I stick to. Pretty easy, pretty light, pretty simple. A lot of times I'll get stuck on a chapter. Like I've been reading Luke chapter 5 over and over and over and over and over again. Just because, again, this is another thing that I learned about prayer recently, which is amazing. I'm just going to talk about prayer.
Okay.
But
the prayer cast.
So often, like, I get stuck on thinking that if I'm reading scripture, like, I have to read a certain amount, or I have to finish a certain book, or I have to get something out of it, or whatever, that something will happen, and I'll get a nugget out of a reading or out of a verse, and I'll just move on. Like, I won't sit with it. And if you think about it, like, when you're in the desert and you're walking and you come upon an oasis, you don't just, like, take a drink and then leave, you know? Like, that's dumb. Like, you stay at the oasis and you set up camp and you drink it until all the water is gone and then you move on. And so I've been treating my prayer a lot like that, is when I come upon something that is bearing fruit and is kind of bringing me out of the desert, I sit with it, which is why I've been reading Luke over and over again, because I'm still getting fruit out of it. So don't be afraid to do that, Elizabeth, and also everybody here. It's like, we can't be afraid to sit with things and pray with them and continually, like, allow the Lord. Like, the Lord's not going to let us just read something over and over again and not get anything out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's scripture. It's, inspired, you know?
Yeah.
I also like to do spiritual reading during Holy Hour. I'm really into, like, that book that I was talking about, Life of the Beloved, or Imitation of Christ is what I'm reading right now, which is pretty rock solid. So just anything that kind of, I don't know, just really,
I'm glad that you brought up the rosary, because, like, I was
Don Tootin.
I always looked at the rosary as like an extension of the chapel. You know what I'm saying? It's a way that we can experience the incarnate Lord, like, outside of perpetual adoration, which we can't always get to.
Yeah,
yeah. And looking at prayer as like centered around the Word, you know, because most prayers are drawn from Scripture, or at least reference Scripture in some sense. And like, Scripture is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. It's all focused on the incarnate Lord. So like, anything that is focusing on the incarnate Lord is good in the chapel.
Bold statement.
It really, really is. It's like, absolutes are tough, but I think that's a good one. Anything that focuses on Jesus is good in the chapel. So, yeah, that's my take on the chapel. Thank you.
I think at the end of the day, don't worry too much, because if you're feeling, or if you're praying and you're growing closer to God, then you're doing adoration correctly, whatever that looks like. If it just means you're sitting and praying for an hour with no aids, then you're good. If it means that you're sitting and falling asleep and you're growing closer to God, great. More power to you. I would argue that probably not if you're falling asleep for an hour.
Unlikely, unless you're Padre Pio, who apparently could pray two rosaries in his sleep.
Homeboy, did you know that Padre Pio prayed like 40 rosaries a day?
That's weird.
He's crazy.
That's like that's being creative in your virtue. That is.
Yeah.
Man, good old Ben Kenobi. Then he battled Darth Vader.
He would pray 40 rosaries a day, and then he got killed by Darth Vader. It shows you where that got him. So maybe pull it back a little bit.
Maybe pull it back a little bit.
Maybe pull it back.
Maybe only pray one.
Audience question? Anybody? Anything? Wow.
What's your name?
What's your name? Give it up for Phoebe.
Give it up for Phoebe. You can use my microphone.
Hey, Phoebe, use my microphone.
Phoebe, use my microphone.
Thanks.
Hello. Okay, I wanted to know your opinions on receiving the sacraments of initiation all at one time as a child and spread out.
We have done a monthly mailbag on this, but we'll do it again. This is like Catholic Answers, where they answer the same questions.
I am so pro all at once.
I'm pro all at once also.
I am so pro all at once. Having like I remember my confirmation, and I was not prepared for my confirmation. But, you know, no one really is.
Yeah, nobody is. You say, like, oh, you got to be old enough to understand the sacrament. Are you old enough to understand every time you receive Jesus Christ in the Eucharist? Probably not.
Yeah.
Step up to the plate.
Your soul doesn't, like, grow into something being old enough to receive. Like, your soul is always able to receive baptism, and then it's not anymore, and then it's habituated to receive the other sacraments. Just receive them right away, mm-hmm. and you're good. Also, like, how are you going to let a kid go from his baptism to 7 years old without giving him what baptism is really for? Like, yeah. baptism leads to full union with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist and then in heaven. So why wouldn't you, like, give him that or her that mm-hmm. as a go? I don't know. I think my issue is the reasons to have Eucharist and confirmation later are like mystagogical reasons, so like educating the baptized reasons, which is good,
which is fine, I guess.
Yeah, it keeps them going to church at least until they're
it holds people
grade.
Hostage. Like, we're using yeah. the sacraments we're using the sacraments to keep people coming to the church, and folks, it's not working.
It's not doing it.
It's we're not doing anything. So I think we need to change. Maybe here's a thought, here's an idea. If we give people the sacraments earlier in life, they'll have more grace.
Yeah.
Maybe that will give them a disposition of coming to church more when they're older. Instead of being like, hey, we're going to hold this behind a paywall.
Oh, yeah. Renee was initiated into the church.
Shout out Renee.
Eastern Catholics. So she got them all. She got the whole smackaroo. And I don't know. Maybe this is...
Doesn't that make it so easy?
Most kids are this is kind of real. Most kids are discovering pornography before they even get out of elementary school. Why are we not giving them confirmation to keep that from happening?
Did Jason Everett just walk into the
room?
Are
we not? Why we're happened? Not using the tools that we have? Also, thank you.
You're welcome. That's a good point. Sorry, I didn't mean to make fun.
No, it's
of you
fine.
In the middle of it,
it was a little too heavy for a joke cast.
Too late. Which, it's too late. Yeah, that's my thought. That's our thoughts.
I think question?
Do we have one more thing? Is that the last one?
Last one.
Teresa, lay it on us. And then we can take as many more questions
no,
as you guys
Teresa,
have.
Lay it on us.
And then you can eat the rest of our food, and then we can go to bed.
Thank you for laying it on us.
Thank you. Teresa, do you have anything to say about this one?
All I gotta say is one of my closest friends, we, like, were in the sandbox together, that kind of friendship. But I forgot her name before I walked up here. So just call her A or B. It's your choice.
It's funny because those are both letters, too.
Oh, gosh. Everything's
can
too
I call
meta. I need
A
to take
or
it
B.
Down.
What about AB? Maybe O? Do I have any other options? Blood types. I'm going with the blood types
Z.
Joke.
Z.
That was a really weird.
I don't have anything else.
I don't have blood types on my brain.
You think of blood more than the average person, so that's why.
Thanks.
All right.
It's kind of a long boy.
We'll make it quick. Oh, speaking of pornography, this one kind of will tie that little knot up.
Sweet.
Hey, Ethan, I was on Twitter today, and you were talking with a man about how pornography can be an addiction.
I was. I was wondering, because I know that if there is not complete consent, it doesn't fill the three categories to be a mortal sin. So I was wondering if you could shed some light on a situation. I'm 16 and have been struggling with porn for about 3 to 4 years now, and I do think it's become an addiction, but I've never really known what classifies as a pornography addiction. I strongly believe I gravely offend God when I commit these sins, but at what point does it become a venial sin? And do we even know? And if my sins were venial because of addiction, I will still treat them as mortal as they are grave. So in short, how do you know to what extent the gravity of the sin is lessened due to incomplete consent? The priests at my parish are so busy around Christmas. I got this at Christmas, and I didn't answer it, so
yikes.
Here we go. What do you think, Pat?
I think that he's safe. He's right in playing it safe in the sense of like not receiving the Eucharist until going to confession. Like,
yep.
You know, because it does gravely offend God because it is grave matter. But right. The extent to which God holds you culpable for that sin mm-hmm. does depend on your personal culpability for it, which can be lessened by addiction. That being said, you can't use addiction as a scapegoat for your habitual sin.
True.
It's if you believe that you have an addiction to any kind of sinful act and you're not seeking help, probably professional help, you may still be at fault for not trying to fix your addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, because
it's not like you're just ignorant of the fact that you have an addiction.
Yeah.
Like, you might not call it that, but you know, like, you know.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And whether it be an addiction to something that causes you to be slothful or lustful or prideful or yeah. whatever it is, there are all these kinds of addictions that can lead us into habitual sin. We know them. We just don't call them out enough. So be good friends with people that will call them out. Be familiar with yourself enough that you can call them out on yourself. And then go to confession.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty easy. Any other questions from the audience?
This is your last chance.
Last chance to ask Dom. Questions, audience.
Get on up here, Dom. Everybody give Dom a round of applause.
Dom, a round of applause for Dom.
He uses my microphone.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dom.
What's up?
At Dom Travel Co. on Instagram if you want to follow.
The good plug. This is how you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to plug when you're up here. Yeah.
So I just wanted to, like, ask you guys if you know anything about, like, the Eastern Church, if you could highlight that a little bit.
Renee, get your butt up.
Everybody
here.
Looks at Renee.
Okay.
We're gonna use our resources.
Because my answer is I don't.
My answer, I can say what I know, and then you can fill in the gaps. How about that? I know about the Eastern Church.
It exists.
It exists.
It's good.
There are churches.
St. John Chrysostom.
There are churches.
Liturgy.
That are in union with Rome. In communion with Rome. And they have different liturgies.
But they have divine liturgy.
They're divine liturgies, but they're valid. That's just
and licit.
All I know.
They are licit and valid. Bell sense.
Tell us, Renee.
TM.
This is everybody. Did we already clap for Renee?
This is Renee. Everybody clap
this is Renee.
For Renee.
Everybody clap for Renee.
Okay, cool. This is my microphone today. Cool. Awesome. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Awesome. So I guess starting from the beginning, doing some history.
This is
such a big topic. I don't even know.
Yeah, you did a 30-minute video on Byzantine, didn't you?
I did, and it was 30 minutes. It wasn't even explaining that much. It was just like, here's exactly what you're going to see if you attend an Eastern liturgy. Like,
gotcha.
Part by part.
Maybe like give us like the 101 crash course. Like if someone was like, hey, divine liturgy, good old DL starts in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Let me know what's going to happen.
Right.
The answer is Greek. A lot of Greek.
My parish is English, so it'll probably be okay. But yeah. So, I mean, there was a split, obviously, between the East and the West at one point a long time ago. And then eventually some of those people who split away, or the Orthodox, as we know them today, were like, actually, we're going to come back and go under the Pope. And so those are the Eastern Catholic churches. But they only have to be obedient to the Bishop of Rome and none of the other bishops. So you'll notice that there aren't many changes in the traditions or the way the liturgy looks. It looks very old and very ancient. That's because they didn't have to implement a lot of the changes that came around with, I mean, more than just Vatican II, but just history, which is crazy. So, yeah. So that's some history there. And there's like 23 or 28 different rites, and I'm Ukrainian Byzantine rite. Yeah, there's a ton of them.
Number.
Yeah, for sure. Some of them are only found over in the East, but there are some over here as well. Which
you said you're Ukrainian?
Yes, I'm Ukrainian.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Can you highlight what the spirituality is like versus Roman Catholic?
Okay, what is the spirituality of the church as opposed to Roman Catholic? Not as opposed to,
what
but...
What does that mean exactly? Like,
Dom, why don't you come here?
It's so funny because John Paul II called the East and the West... can I have the chair, please?
Like,
no,
the...
I'm kidding.
The general just kind of, like, approach to prayer and, like, how you see God and, like...
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I mean, because... They're Eastern and Western, both Catholic, both two lungs of the church, as John Paul II said. And it's interesting in that way because you can say, well, the Eastern Rite doesn't have the rosary. They don't have adoration. And, you know, everyone goes, oh, they have married priests and crazy things like that, you know. And that's more like an economic thing from, you know, that's a long discussion on its own. Yeah. No. That was not the reason. That's very funny. But there's an acceptance of both traditions that overlap on both sides. So it's okay if you're praying a rosary in an Eastern church, for sure. There's an interesting view on the death of a spouse. You know, the till death do us part. The Eastern Catholics don't believe that. They still believe there's a very special and close bond between the spouses in heaven as well. So there's not like a parting. They believe... the Annunciation of Mary, they call it the Dormition of Mary, that she just fell asleep, which is interesting. I have to look into history about that, but because I don't remember the detail. But anyway, so there's a difference between that. There's all these little things, but yeah. But the spirituality is the same. The way you see God is definitely the same and really beautiful on both sides. So, yeah.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Renee.
A round of applause.
Thank you.
And give Dom a round of applause.
If you do want to know more, if you listen to the Catholic Stuff You Should Know podcast, one of the priests that does that is an Eastern Rite priest. And so sometimes they have really good, like if you look through, he explains like kind of the history. I don't remember what it's called,
what the exact episode is, but if you go on their website and you search Eastern Churches,
just look through the 200 episodes.
It'll come up. It'll filter and come up with all the episodes that they've talked about it. So that's kind of where I've learned the things that I've learned about it. Yeah,
that was a really fun little tidbit to end on.
Fun little tidbit, yeah. And I think we're just gonna close it.
Yeah, we're just gonna. I mean, Ethan, it's been so great having you here. This is not a goof or a show. I've really enjoyed having Ethan here. This is like the third time we've ever met in person.
This is literally the third time we've ever hung out. Like, which is crazy.
Yeah, and before the other two times were at conferences, so it was like very limited hangoutable time. So it's been great having him here. He's been on his own like half the time, just walking around campus.
If you saw me in the JC being like a creepo wastoid, just kind of sitting in chairs and looking at people.
He screams a lot in public.
I was singing outdoors earlier. I didn't really mean to. I just didn't have anything better to do because Patrick was in class and I'm not going to class. I actually went to a class. So it's fine. But thank you all for your hospitality. This is a great place. I feel like so many of you are just so kind and welcoming to newcomers like myself. So thank you for that. It's a beautiful charism of this place. Are you going to play the outro music?
Yeah, I'm pulling up the outro music.
I'll keep talking. If you're interested, if you like what you heard this evening, this is the Crunch Catholic Podcast. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play. Tell your friends. We put up new episodes every single Sunday, which is great and amazing. It's usually just us. Sometimes we have a guest like Mark Hart or whoever.
This episode is going up this upcoming Sunday?
This episode is going up next Sunday.
Okay, and Mark Hart.
Unless you want it to go up this Sunday.
No, but Mark Hart is...
Is scheduled to go up this week.
Okay, cool. So
Well, we can kick him though.
No, we're good. Okay. We're gonna keep him strong and planted. It's just that you said last time that this is it. Never mind.
It doesn't matter.
So listen to our interview with Mark Hart. It was really great. He almost made Ethan cry, and then Ethan cut out the podcast. Of course, when I cry on the podcast, which is
I include it every
he
time.
He includes it and then repeats it at the end.
Yeah. If you want to support us, patreon.com/thecrunch. Also, while you're on Patreon, support New Catholic Generation. The homies, we love them. You might know them better than we do. They've been very hospitable to us as well, making some good videos. Check their channel. We did a couple panels with them while we were here, a couple of other vlog-type videos, which was really fun. Otherwise, after this, I just want to hang out with all of you. If you want to hang out with me, that's cool. But if not, I get it.
Yeah.
We have snacks, cereal in the back. We've got more milk. There's more pizza left. There's some soda, some donuts. Please take all of it. We bought it for you. We want you to eat it.
So just do the outro thing.
Just do that. And thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we will see you on the Twitters. Wait. You're really not. You need a fast forward. There we go. I'll say it again.
Okay. Do it again.
I gotta wait.
This is live.
This is the outro music. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we will see you on the Twitters.
Wait for it. Thank you. Is there pizza left? I'm hungry.
Yeah, is there any pizza left? I'm hungry. Let's get it. Thank you so much for coming, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.